The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Now, speaking of grandparents, of course, another very much loved grandparent being buried today. The funeral of Britain's Prince Philip takes place this afternoon. I'm joined on the line now by Jenny Bond, former BBC Royal Correspondent. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning.
Jenny, so the funeral's on at 3 o'clock today. And obviously, with COVID, it's going to be very different. But the Duke had also been making plans around it, and he kind of wanted a low-key send off anyway, didn't he?
Yes, I think it will be actually quite in keeping with his wishes. I mean, more restricted than he could have imagined because of COVID. Only 30 mourners are allowed in St George's Chapel at Windsor. But he didn't like fuss and he didn't like bother. And he was also quite a quirky gentleman. And that's why there's been a lot of publicity about the hearse, which is in fact a converted Land Rover in military green colours. And he's been tinkering with the design of that for about 16 years, I think, and it's been made by Land Rover especially for this occasion. There's even a backup vehicle in case this Land Rover should break down on the very short 8-minute procession that we're going to see.
Yeah, and he was a big lover of Land Rovers, I gather.
That's right, he loved them. Yes, he crashed one, actually, just about, what was it, a couple of years ago, and immediately went into the castle and ordered another one. But then he had to give up driving because he'd got so old that it really wasn't a very good idea. Yes, he did like that. So that will be taking him to his final resting place in St George's Chapel, which is within Windsor.
OK, so the order of service was released last night, I know. Just tell us a bit about what's going to happen today and who'll be there and so on.
Yeah, well, within the past hour, the Duke's coffin has been moved from the private chapel within Windsor Castle itself to the inner hall. And there it will lie. I would imagine that the Queen has had a moment of private farewell at the chapel before the coffin was moved, and then prayers will be said over the coffin at about 1400, about 2 o'clock. And then there will be this procession, which although we've been saying it's all very sort of downgraded because of COVID, it will nevertheless be a grand military occasion. I think there's something like 700 members of the armed forces who will be taking part. And behind the coffin, the Duke's children will walk. And the 30 mourners will be driven, they will be driven mostly to the chapel. The service itself, yes, very much a reflection of the Duke's personality and character. A nautical theme, there'll be the sailor's hymn, the call to action, which is a bugler sounding his bugle, as they do on naval ships when you have to have all hands on deck. There'll be the heritage of the Duke will be reflected as well. You may know that he was a prince of Greece mm-hmm. and Denmark. He was actually christened Philippos, not Philip, but Philippos. And the funeral hymn is one that's sung in Greek and Russian Orthodox churches as well. So very much reflecting the Duke that perhaps many people really didn't know, that his background that people yeah. weren't aware of till this week.
And in terms of the attendance, we'll have no Meghan, obviously, no Boris either, I believe. So it's quite tight. But his friend, Countess Mountbatten, will be there, won't she? Penelope. Tell us about her, because she's been very close to him for a long time, hasn't she?
She has. She's some 30 years younger than the Duke, but they struck up a fantastically pally friendship. Obviously, they are distant related by marriage. She's Countess Mountbatten. She will represent the Mountbatten family. But basically, she was his carriage driving companion. He loved carriage driving until very late old age. And it's a fiercely dangerous sport. Go careering around the courses, sometimes getting tipped out sideways. And she would be the very elegant escort to the Duke, dressed beautifully, not necessarily during the more dangerous races, but she also visited him a lot at Sandringham when he stayed at Wood Farm alone, the Queen working in London. He was at Sandringham, some 100 miles away, and she would just sit with him and be his great buddy. So she represents the Mountbatten family. And also his German family is going to be represented by three members who've come over from Germany, two great-nephews and one cousin.
God, it's gas when you hear Meghan talking about how hard it is being a member of the royals. And then you get a sense of Philip's life that he managed to have friends, he managed to have his hobbies, he's tinkering around with cars and everything. It's kind of not the prison that Meghan portrayed, but maybe it's a generational thing. Listen, you mentioned about people walking behind the hearse today, and all eyes in one way on William and Harry today, who will be walking kind of together but not together.
That's right. I think it's a great shame that William and Harry haven't seen how this would be perceived. I mean, I don't know the reason why they're not walking shoulder to shoulder. They did at the Queen Mother's funeral, and Peter Phillips, their cousin, walked alongside them. But today we will see Peter Phillips in between them. And yes, the perception is that that is almost symbolic of the rift between William and Harry, which we know exists. But goodness me, my own opinion is, for goodness sake, boys, walk side by side for your grandmother's sake.
Yeah, cop on, as we'd say in Ireland. We heard a bit during the week that William did speak on the phone to Harry. Harry was isolating at Frogmore Cottage, and that there was a hope that Kate, maybe, who had a good relationship with Harry, could act as some kind of peace broker. Have we heard any suggestion that warmth broke out between the brothers during the week?
No, we haven't heard any more. My hope is that in death, somehow, Prince Philip will be a broker of some peace between them, because I just think when you're faced with a funeral and faced with the finality of death,
yes,
albeit after a very long life, perhaps it will focus their minds on things that, you know, they need to get this together, basically.
Yeah. Now, the other kind of, if you will, unseemly kind of royal row around this was about dress code. So just explain to us maybe why Andrew wanted to dress like an admiral, and then why the Queen, I think the Queen, had to intervene and basically say everyone's wearing mourning clothes.
Yes, from what we know, Prince Andrew did want to dress as an admiral. He was a vice admiral, and he is someone who certainly is worthy of wearing a military uniform. He saw action, obviously, in the Falklands. He had been promoted to admiral, but that hadn't taken effect, that promotion, when the disastrous Newsnight interview happened with the allegations, which he's denied, about his association with Jeffrey Epstein. And so he wanted to wear a uniform to which he wasn't strictly entitled. And anyway, the fact that the Queen has said no uniforms means that Harry won't be embarrassed, because he was stripped of his military appointments, his honorary military appointments. I mean, ironically, they are the two members of the family who are absolutely entitled, one would think, to wear a military uniform, because both have seen action. Mm. But then they're not going to. The Queen has had to sort that one out. Poor woman. I do think that in this week of all weeks, she shouldn't having to be dealing with the sensitivities of her family.
Yeah, yeah. There was a suggestion that Andrew was trying to use this to basically rehabilitate himself over the last week.
Well, I don't know. I think, I think we have to have some sympathy, but he's lost his father.
Yeah,
he was very close to his father.
Okay.
I don't know what his motives were.
Yeah, yeah. And he was the closest one to him, wasn't he? The two of them had great fun together, I gather.
Well, they did, but Edward as well, and well, all of them. Charles had a difficult relationship, but Anne, really, Princess Anne, is a chip off the old block, and I think she will be feeling it very hard to have lost her father today, as they all will.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say there about the Queen having to deal with all this kind of peripheral stuff, but I think, I forget who said it, but let it be known that this will leave a big void for the Queen. Is this going to be a very hard one for her?
Incredibly hard, I think. This is the love of her life that she is saying farewell to today. And there was a wonderful picture released by the Queen for the papers this morning. You may have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken some 18 years ago when they were in Scotland together having a picnic, and they looked so happy, so relaxed, so informal. It was taken by Sophie Wessex, with whom they have a very good relationship. It's going to be the saddest day of her life, but she will cope. because she does, and she's stoic, and she's already gone back to work. She's had one or two engagements, and she has spoken to the Governor General of Australia and to Justin Trudeau of Canada, and I've no doubt she will be presiding over the state opening of Parliament, which is only a matter of weeks away.
Okay, Jenny Bond, thank you so much for that, and that funeral starts today at 3 o'clock.